Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Before we get to our guest today, there's been some wannabe listeners who've had trouble downloading the podcast. Richard, can you address this?
Yeah, I've heard from a number of people now who are having problems with the podcast, most of them on iTunes or whatever the Apple app is that they're using. So, unfortunately, I don't have a workaround for that. It's an Apple problem for most of the people. But, you know, I just want to say you can always get the episodes. You can get it on Spotify. You can get it at gamblingwithanedge.com. Or you can get it on YouTube. So there are other places. Also, I use an app called Stitcher, which I recommend highly. So if you're not getting it through Apple, try one of those others.
And then, of course, we always have the catch-22 is if they're not getting this, they're not going to hear what you just said. So that's just
They find a way to get it eventually. They keep asking me why is iTunes not, you know, giving me the latest podcast?
All right. So let's get to our guest. Our guest today is Ryan Growney, who's general manager of the South Point Casino here in Las Vegas. Casinos in Nevada are scheduled to open 1 week from our air date. So they'll open Thursday, June 4th, probably. Hopefully, possible that date will be moved back by the governor. In general, we'll be discussing how things will be different at the South Point compared to the way they were before the opening. We're taping this on Memorial Day, so it's about a week and a half before the air date. Things can change between now and then, but this is Ryan Growney's best guess as to the way it's going to be. So, Ryan Growney, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me. I've never been on before.
Yeah, we've had Mr. Gone on a few times. And so you have to come on twice to catch up with him.
All right.
We'll see what we can do about that. What additional measures will be made to keep the casino germ-free and safe for your employees and guests?
It's a long list. And like you said, a lot of things will change. Actually, you mentioned we're filming on Memorial Day tomorrow morning. So Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., there's a gaming control board in tandem with the Southern Nevada Health District that are going to give us kind of a webinar, if you will, on everything that's required that the casinos do. And then as well as recommended that the casinos do, given what's going on. Now, we did submit our plan. This has been a very challenging time because there were so many unknowns about the virus and about the comeback and what was going to happen. So we submitted our safety plan. It would have been 12 days ago already because you had to submit it 7 days in advance of opening. We didn't know when we were going to open, so we wanted to get that in as soon as possible. So that's already been submitted. It went 7 days. We did not receive any questions on the plan, so we believe we're in good shape to go there. And but now when we hear this tomorrow, we're going to learn some new things probably. And I think you're going to see that more to do with the hotel guests. So I'm going to talk about what we are already have done, committed to do, plan on doing. And then some of that might change. And the biggest thing will be the temperature screenings, we're talking about either having to do or required to do or elect not to do. But, anyway, for most of the casinos, you've seen all the plans. They've all come out. And they're all very similar. There's some differences. The biggest change is I have an arena and equestrian center, and I have 1,200 horse stalls, and right now they're full of chairs. Cause we took every other slot machine is turned off. And so we don't go quite down to half occupancy on slots, if you will, cause if you have a bank of six, you turn the two middle machines off. And so that bank of six now becomes a bank of four. So we don't lose half the machines per se. It just depends on the configuration of the game. We have a lot of eight game banks. Those do go down. They go down from eight to four. So it just depends on the configuration, how many active slots we'll have left. But all the machines that are turned off We did physically remove the chair. We just felt like that was going to be the best thing to do to try to ensure that if a husband and wife come in and the husband sits down to play, that the wife doesn't sit down next to him. And then there's a guy or a woman in the chair next to her that's playing a machine that is separated by that off machine. So we removed the chairs from the floors. On all the table games, we removed, we took every game down to three. So only three people would be playing at a blackjack game. And we took all of those chairs that would not be allowed to be used out. You can play two hands if you like, but there'll only be three people at a blackjack game. There'll be four at a roulette game. There'll be three people on each side of a craps game. And then we've bought hundreds of hand sanitizers and sand, and hand wipes. So that one, if you just want to sanitize your hand after playing a machine, they're attached to the sides of slot machines. They're in between every blackjack game is one with the, you know, the actionable pump that you just wave your hand and it'll give you some hand sanitizers. But then we'll also have the big buckets of wipes that you can go around, grab one. So when you get to the machine you'd like to play, you can wipe those buttons down. And then we'll have a much larger, we've always prided ourselves on having one of the cleanest casinos in town. But we will be adding attendance to the restrooms. There will be a sizable increase in force for our internal maintenance department, and that's their job. You have this section of slot machines, and you just wipe. You walk around and wipe them down, and when you're finished, you go back to the beginning and start again. So from a cleanliness standpoint, I think that it's going to be it's a lot more labor, but it's going to be a pretty clean and sanitary environment. That's on the casino floor. Half the chairs in the sports book were taken out. I'm down to 61 chairs in the sports book, which is about a third, when you go to that 6-foot separation. So that's pretty light. In the month of June, there won't be a whole lot of major live sports. So we'll probably get us by all right. We'll use every other teller at the sports book, every other teller at the race book again through the month of June. There's not enough business to be too concerned about that. In all the lounges, we took out at least one row, if not two rows of tables and chairs, physically removed them. And those are all of my barns, right now. So we were able to separate those tables, get them to the 6-foot separation. And bingo is the same thing. Every other chair has been removed, from the room itself. We'll go down to 8 sessions. Times are being finalized, but we'll have 8 sessions per day. So cutting back a couple of the sessions just because we're not sure where the business level is going to be. And then of course, after every single session, all the tables, we're going to ask the people to leave the computer devices on the table so that we disinfect the ones that were used and put them back in the rack. Poker will be in operation. We actually just finished. We expanded our poker room. We added 8 additional tables and we moved we added about 18 feet, I'd say, to the room. So it's going to give us the availability. It's turned out beautifully, and we're going to be able to spread those tables out nice and wide. And then we're going to try to open, which we're waiting on final approval, 5-handed. So there'll be 5 people playing at each poker game. And then the same thing, just hand sanitizers and wipes all over the place. And you can't go 10 feet without bumping into one. And then the biggest question, right, everyone's talking about is masks and temperature checks and what we're going to do that. Employees, any employees on the floor or in a front of house, public facing space will be required to wear a mask. If I'm not going to be sitting in my office wearing a mask, but anybody interacting with customers and then you're not in that social distancing space. So dealers, cocktail waitresses, you can't deliver a drink from 6 feet away. So, they will all be in masks. We're hearing rumors that the discussion tomorrow is, there have been talk about mandating that customers wear masks. I think that's going to pose a lot of challenges if they do that. In drink service on the floor or people that smoke, things of that nature, it's going to be very hard for them to all wear masks all the time. And it's going to be hard to enforce that. I mean, you've seen the amount of pushback people give when you make them wear a mask. And if we give the floor the ability for a customer walks in, he's going to be able to play a slot machine, play a blackjack game, get to a restaurant, and have the availability to stay 6 feet away from any other customer. So as long as our employees are masked, that would be our argument. But obviously, we'll follow whatever the guidelines come out tomorrow. I don't think they'll go there. I just think it will cause so many problems. And then temperature screening is the other question. So we have purchased 6 thermal imaging cameras. We've been using them on our employees that are on property since we've shut down. People don't realize this, but there's no physical locks on our doors. If we wanted to lock them, we don't have the ability to. So we had to go buy a bunch of chains and padlocks and just wrap them around the handles, which isn't exactly perfectly secure. So we've had a security force in play the whole time, surveillance force in play the whole time. And then the poker room construction continued through the closure. And we've also remodeled all of our hallways. We were planning on doing a floor a week, and we went ahead and ramped that up to get it done faster since we were closed down. They turned out beautifully. So we had a small construction crew in the tower. So there has been people on property. And so we mandate that everyone comes through one entrance, and they are all getting temperature checked. It's worked pretty well. The technology seems to work pretty well. I mean, every couple of days we watch the video camera, and it's just a video monitor on a surveillance camera. And then a number pops up next to your head that shows what your temperature is. And if you're at an elevated temperature, 100.4 or higher, we ask you to please step aside, and we let you wait. We did have one construction guy that had his vest and his helmet in the back of his pickup truck. So when he came in, he was very hot. So he took that stuff off, sat down for 10 minutes, and then we shot him with the touchless thermometer, and he cooled right down and was able to enter the property. But for that exact reason, I'm worried about when my guests from Grandview walk across the street when it's supposed to be 109 on Thursday. So I guess we'll get a little bit of a test with employees only. I feel like they're going to come in warm, and that's going to cause a lot of issues because we have so many entrances. The plan, if we are mandated to temperature check everyone, is we would shut down two of the entrances, and that would leave 5 points of access to the property. You run 5 points of access, 2 security guards per location, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't have enough. There's not enough manpower. We've already hired 30 outside security guards just to monitor those devices. So we're going to see what they say tomorrow. Absolutely, we'll be scanning employees. Same concept. If your employees are in masks, those are the ones that are becoming in closer contact with your customers than customer to customer contact. And then mandatory mask and mandatory temperature checks for employees. That's guaranteed. We also hear that it's going to be mandatory that any hotel guests that arrive on property will be temperature checked. Also manageable, because now we can just do it at the hotel elevators and the check-in line, and we can make sure that's taking place. And I think the theory there is Las Vegas didn't – I don't want to – I mean, obviously, one case is too many, but we weren't considered a hot spot. So if it's just the locals that are coming in the building every day, maybe less of a concern than if you had someone coming from New York or coming from Brazil or one of these locations that have been hit harder than we were. And so we don't want them bringing it here. And so we would test them before they get into the hotel and then handle it accordingly if we did find anyone that came back hot. So those are the biggest. Those are the biggest things on the casino floor. The other amenities in the building are hotel rooms. We're only going to be selling 1,081 rooms, which is half of our hotel rooms in the building. And then a bunch of changes in housekeeping department. Room service we will be doing room service, but an employee will never enter your room. The cart will be delivered, knock on the door. You'll have to grab your own trays, which isn't up to our normal level of service, but hopefully the guests understand. And then the guests will just put the trays back in the hallway so we can pick them up. Housekeeping service, daily housekeeping service will not be provided. They do not want, the health department does not want, housekeepers in rooms of individuals for the housekeeper safety as well as the guest safety, that you don't want to be in that, interacting in those types of environments. So, we won't be providing daily housekeeping service. Towels and sheets, additional sheets and blankets and pillows will be provided upon request. We'll leave them at the door, knock on the door, and then vacate the area. The room cleaning, just additional checklists, things that we've always done, but we just want to make sure that we're hitting all the high-touch areas, the remote controls, the phones, all of those things. Again, they're normally done, but we're going to add some pretty significant additional checks on when people check out. And then we have purchased this. I'm sure everyone has seen it. It's this electrostatic machine. It's pretty neat. Everybody says they work fantastically, that it's a electrostatic, it's almost like a I don't know how to describe it, almost like a bug, like it sprays like a bug sprayer, but the chemicals, because of the electrostatic machine, it clings to everything that it cut, and it's a fine mist that gets layered over everything, and that way it ensures that every little nook and cranny, it'll cling to the remote control. It'll cling to the television set. It'll cling, to the dressers and the drawers. And that will be the final kind of once over once the room has been cleaned and then put back in service for the next arriving guest. Bowling. We're going to go every other lane. Same concept as bingo. If you bowl, leave your ball, your rental ball on the rack and we'll go grab it for you and, pick it up and sanitize the ball and put it back on the rack for you. So any guest coming in knows that if they're grabbing a ball, it has been sanitized. People do like to decide which ball they're going to use. They might pick it up where if you touch a ball, take it to the rack, put it down, take as many as you want. We'll put them all back for you at the conclusion of your game. And then shoes are sanitized after every usage anyway. What else?
Are you going to, if a guest wants a mask but didn't bring one, are you going to have masks available for people in the casino?
Yeah, we're going to play it by ear in the beginning. We're going to sell them in the gift shop for $2. It's about what it cost us because we're not trying to make money off of it. But we also don't want people coming in and just grabbing a handful of masks and walking back out. Because masks, they're becoming a little bit more readily available, but we were so concerned. Excuse me, one sec. We were so concerned with so we bought 400,000 masks. But when we're giving them to all of our employees, and they're going to need one, two, depending on the position, a couple a day. And then if we gave them to every customer that walked through the door, I think you'd and a lot of people would take them and not even want to use them. So if you sell them, if they have to make a conscious effort to go get one, then we know that person actually wants to be there, wants a mask to be there, and there will be availability there. And they're all individually packaged, which makes it very nice. Individually sealed in plastic wrap masks.
It seems like one of the big problems is, the chips at the tables, yep. Right? Because the customers are touching them. They're going back and forth. How are you dealing with that?
We're currently not, really. Well, while this downtime was going on, we went through and we cleaned all the chips. But the chips, we're dealing the cards face up, so you don't touch the cards. But you're right. Even if we were to sanitize the chips, how do you do it on the game? When the chips get passed around, there's no good way to do it. That's why we put hand sanitizers in between every game. So when you get down and you're playing and you're using the chips, when you get up, right next to your chair is going to be a hand sanitizing device, and we recommend that you sanitize your hands as you're leaving. Every time a dealer comes in, they will sanitize the paddle, they will sanitize the box, they will sanitize the sign. Anytime a customer gets up, we'll be sanitizing the rail and the seat with which they got out of. But you're right, the chips are the biggest problem. We've heard we've looked into the IV light that necessarily doesn't. If you just scan the rack, well, the chips are butted up next to each other. All you'd be doing is getting the edges. So we haven't found a great way to address the chips yet. We're all ears, but we haven't talked to any property that has found a great way. Some of them are talking about dipping them in alcohol solution, as they get cycled back through the cage. But we haven't found a solution that doesn't significantly damage the chips. So the chips are the, we've got a great plan for everything but the chips in both table games and in poker.
Some of businesses collect names and contact information of the patrons so that if and when a virus outbreak comes about, they know how to get in touch with who has been there. Do you have any plans of that nature?
It's impossible, Bob. On a busy day, we'd have 25,000 people come through this casino. So at half occupancy, I still think we'll get 10 or 12,000, walk through the door a day. So how do I get 12,000 names and phone numbers and email addresses? And not only that, so then we get a call 2 weeks later that someone that may have been in the building, so I got to notify all 12,000 people that you might have been in the bathroom next to somebody that may have, had the virus on Tuesday, June 7th. We just don't think it's plausible. If we are made aware of someone, we'll obviously go through surveillance to see if there is a way to try to track some people down. And I know the state will be doing a lot of the contact tracing responsibilities, and that's why the governor will wait as long as we get that department hired up. But we will not be collecting data from our customers.
Okay, I agree with your answer, but I think it was a question that needed to be asked.
Yeah, that's fine. Just, and again, it's like the temperature check. I have 7 sets of doors, so I'd have to have people there 24/7, having people filling out questionnaires, and I'd have 12,000 names and phone numbers. It's just, there's no great way for that to take place.
So some of the casinos are talking about eliminating smoking because the smokers, you know, their hand goes to their mouth repeatedly and then goes to the chips and back and forth. Have you considered putting a ban on smoking?
Absolutely not. I know there's been a lot of conversation about it. I also know that every casino that's ever tried to go smoke-free didn't make it. A lot of our customers do smoke. That is their right to do so, and I think that that is not something we'll be looking to implement. It's just it's kind of part of the deal with gamblers. So we don't think that it would have to go to the state if they mandated it, and we don't hear that is going to happen, and it's our opinion that we would not want it to happen.
Will there be a limit as to how many people can be in the casino at one time?
Yeah, so per gaming, it's half your occupancy limit based on fire code. So I think just by only selling half of our hotel rooms, it's you're going to have half the amount of people in the building, and all of the other things that we put in place, only 3 chairs per table, only half the hotel rooms, half the tables in the restaurant. So you can't really manage it from a property overall standpoint. Again, 7 entrances. I can't have a clicker there that a guy's clicking in and clicking out and then have a total capacity. But we'll be monitoring using our slot system to see how many machines are in play on the floor. Again, we know it'll be around that 60% number, whatever that final count is. We are able to, because we're turning the other half off. Half the people in the hotel and then half the people in each restaurant. So collectively, we'll make sure that each space is only at 50%. And then so that way we'll be able to extrapolate it to the entire property that we're at that 50% capacity.
All right. Let's go to the slot department and ask some questions about that. You say every other machine will be turned off, although depending on how many are in the row, and the chairs will be gone. Most of your chairs are easily movable. Well, some are pretty heavy, but they're easily movable. And so it would be not difficult for a patron to take a chair from one spot and move it across the aisle to the other. Do you see that happening, or do you anticipate that happening? Are you going to forbid it, or what?
Why is the person moving the chair?
Because maybe their wife wants to sit next to them.
Yeah. We're going to try to limit that. It'll be up to the slot floor, and we'll have security personnel walking around as opposed to slot personnel. So the machines are physically turned off. So it would only be the case that you're talking about. And I'm hoping that everyone knows we've been shut down for 2 months. And though for the most part, people, I think, are following the rules. But will it happen? Absolutely. We'll address it. Ma'am, sir, I'm sorry, but I need you to move this chair back over so that we can make sure that that we are enforcing the social distancing. Now, if somebody ends up taking the chair, there's 2 chairs and 3 machines, right? So if they take the chair off the 3rd machine and just move it over so they can kind of play the game together, well, that's fine because couples can be together, and then that chair would be in play, and then the chair, there'd be no chair in front of the on game. So that would be all right. But no, we're going to have altercations every day, 24 hours a day that we're going to have to manage. And, that'll be up to our floor staff and our security officers to try to take care of those situations.
Now, many of your machines are essentially the duplicate of the machine next to it. So whether you turn off every other one or not, there's still all the machines are available, but you do have some games where there's only one of those games on the entire floor.
Yep.
If one of those gets turned off and somebody's favorite game, is there any way to turn it back on?
Sure. So we've given thought to that as well. So in the way with which we're turning some machines off, we try to leave all of those in play. So hopefully that situation won't arise, but if it does, we would be happy to make that accommodation for a guest.
even for a lesser reason, perhaps, of this is my really, really lucky machine because I've hit two royal flushes on it and I haven't hit any others in the entire world, so I want this one turned on. Absolutely. Will those kind of requests be honored?
As best that we can, right, Bob? I mean, we can't be running out because we're going to be dealing with all these other issues that we've already talked about. So, but we will make every possible accommodation to if someone's. I'm superstitious as well, so I understand that. And gamblers are superstitious, and we'll make sure we'll do our best to accommodate all of those requests.
You know, the pictures of some of the places that have already opened. I see these. Plastic dividers between the playing spots. You're not doing that, are you?
We're not adding any plexiglass to the floor. Turning the machines off is a better. If you're turning the individual machines off in between games, the person's going to be far enough away. All that plexiglass then does is add another piece of surface that I have to sanitize every however many minutes we're sanitizing everything in the building. And we think it's just going to end up being more work. Also, we've heard that the plexiglass, although the CDC has come out and said that it's less likely than they originally thought you can get it off surfaces, and it's mostly past human to human, that of the surfaces that can hang on to the virus, that plexiglass is one of the worst ones. So we don't think it's a great idea. Just more cumbersome than helpful. So we will not be adding the plexiglass to any location within in the building. We looked at it in restaurant booths, but again, it's just most of our booths are just fabric to fabric, back to back. It would be hard to do one. So we're just going to seat everyone at every other booth instead.
Do you see any changes to the W2G procedures on jackpots related to the virus?
It's a good point. Not currently. And that's not, those aren't our regulations. So gaming may end up coming out with something tomorrow, to address that. But as of now, that conversation has not been had. And until we get additional guidance, we will be handling the W-2s the same way we always have.
Will the employees be wearing gloves?
I don't know. The problem, gloves, I think, provide such a false sense of security. Once you have gloves on, unless you change the gloves at between every interaction with the slot customer, which isn't reasonable to do, it's not helping at all. I mean, you go to these gas stations and you watch these people with these gloves on, and they're just handling all the same stuff that they'd be handling with their skin. But I think it gives people a false sense of security. So I don't have to wash my hands as much, and I don't have to sanitize as much. And I know that the health department says you cannot use sanitizer on gloves. So none of all of our food operations and food handlers, they will be following the Southern Nevada Health District guidelines. If an employee wants to wear gloves, I'd have a hard time telling them no, but, certain departments, it will be mandated that they're wearing gloves. Which department the final list has not been completed.
Will the mix of machines and pay schedules that were found when you closed on March 11th, which were among the loosest anywhere, will they be essentially the same when you open up?
Yeah, no plans on changing any pay tables or structures. If anything, Mr. Gonfile, when things get a little rough out there, loosen your machines, don't tighten them. So they'll either be the same or are loosened up a little bit. But for right now, we're planning on having the exact same pay.
All right. Now, when you closed in March, you had a monthly promotion going called Free Play with a Kicker. On that promotion, players, they would pick up their normal free play on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And if they did, they would get an equivalent amount Friday or Saturday. And if they picked up all eight of those jackpots or free play amounts, then at the end of the month on a particular day, they would get a double dose of free play. So you only got the first couple of times to pick that up. Will that promotion come back or has it just gone away?
So this whole time, again, not knowing when we're going to be open, we've been talking about plans. Okay, if we're open April 15th, what do we do? May 1st, what do we do? May 7th, what do we do? May, you know, whatever. So we got to the point where we figured it was going to be early June. At least that was the next possible date. So we went ahead and put it together. If we opened at the end of the month, we were just going to carry on with the March piece. If we open in the beginning of a month, we're just going to start it over, right? So that everybody that got that March mailer, they will get the exact same mailer, if not better, for June. And it looks like we're going to start June 4th. So the Friday, Saturday will be in play. So it'll, in the language, and I have the mailer right here, we had put, promotion will start on the first day we're open. And that, so obviously you wouldn't have been able to pick up the free play on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, first, second, or third. So we're just going to go ahead and give you the kicker on the Friday, Saturday, and then the promotion will run as it usually does, through the month of June. And when I say you're going to get the same mailer or better, so we do a 3-month, 90-day evaluation for local mailers. And so the March mailer would have been December, January, February. So we ran that list. But then we were open for 2 weeks in March. So if you ended up playing more in March when we were open, we ran the mailer for January, February, March as well, and then deduped it. So if you would have earned a higher mailer because of your March play, then that's the one you'll get for June. If you did not, because obviously we're only open half the month, then you'll receive the same mailer that you would have received in March, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. So June 29th is a Monday. Presumably, if they've picked up all the amounts, they will get the double dose on June 29th. Is that correct?
We're going to give them 2 days. So it'd be June 29th and June 30th. You'll get 2 days to utilize the bonus kicker.
All right. So I'm actually surprised that the poker room is open. I've been reading in some places that a lot of poker rooms are not going to open because players have to touch the cards in poker. There's no way to deal poker face up. It's a totally different game and not very sporting.
Yeah. I said that in a meeting as a joke, and everybody looked at me like I had lost my mind. But yeah, if you're playing Hold'em and we're dealing the cards up, you're not going to have a whole lot of action. So the rumor is that only us in the Orleans will be opening our poker room. And, because of your point, and again, those individuals, will have to understand that. And it's just like dealing with the chips at a blackjack game. In addition, the poker tables are considerably larger than blackjack tables. So you're able to social distance better at a poker table, even five-handed, than you can at a blackjack table, three-handed. So for all of those reasons, we are going to open our poker room. And for those that want to come in and play, we're going to be available. The dealers will be in masks, and we'll have hand sanitizers and wipes all over the room so that when you walk into a game, keep your hands off your face, finish playing poker. And I know how hard it is. Trust me. I mean, you've seen all the press conferences where, you know, during the course of a speech, the guy tells you don't touch your face 10 times, and he touches his face 20 times in the interview. So I do understand it's hard, but we'll have the hand sanitizers and the wipes around so that try not to touch your face when you leave the room or go to the restroom or whatever. Sanitize, wash your hands. And then if you want to come back and play some more, great. And if not, then that's fine too. But we are going to attempt to reopen the poker room.
And will you have tournaments daily, weekly, or at all?
That hasn't been. We're going to wait and see what the demand is. Obviously we're not going to announce any tournaments, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, hey, we're going to give a $50,000 tournament in play, and then all of a sudden there's nobody there. So we're going to see what happens and kind of roll it out a little bit slowly before we announce any large promotions.
So restaurants, I'm assuming the buffet will not reopen now. Is that right?
That's correct. I don't think there's a buffet in the state being opened. We will probably be one of the first to come back, and only because all we have as a good option for breakfast is the coffee shop. And even though the hotel will be half occupied, at best half occupied, and we don't know, even though with the presumptive date of June 4th, I thought the phones would start ringing a little bit faster than they have been, but they might just be waiting for the official announcement from the governor tomorrow before they make that call, only because what we've seen in these other locations. And so we'll have the coffee shop open 24 hours, 7 days a week, half seating. We'll have little placards on the tables that say reserved for your safety. And those are the tables that will not be in use to make sure that we get that proper separation in the restaurants. And, but that means that's really the only thing for breakfast. So, we're actually going to serve in Don Vito's as well, breakfast and lunch from 8 till 3. So that way you can have the coffee shop menu in Don Vito's, just so that it allows us to spread the guests out a little bit more over two restaurants, and the kitchens are right next to each other. So it works out okay. It's not a wonderful, setup, but it's manageable. And then Don Vito's will reopen at night for dinner with the normal Don Vito's menu. And then we'll also have the Silverado Steakhouse open 7 days a week. The Oyster Bar, when you come in, there's a huge construction wall around the Oyster Bar. We were planning on starting construction in the Oyster Bar June 1st anyway. It's mostly equipment related, right? 15 years of an Oyster Bar equipment, with the water and the steam and, how busy that room is. A lot of the equipment had kind of gotten to the point where you just couldn't fix it anymore. So we ripped out the entire Oyster Bar island, and we're bringing in all new equipment, and it'll look similar when we reopen it. There'll be some small changes to the decor, but not much. And then we're also adding 3 additional tables on the left-hand side of the Oyster Bar, just because the demand for that room is so great. While we were doing this, we wanted to go ahead and take the opportunity to add a few more tables. So the Oyster Bar will be shut down at least June and July, and hopefully by the end of July we'll have it open back up. Buffet will be closed. Zenshin will open 7 days a week just for dinner. The deli, they're waiting to see what the sports organizations do before they come back. If we're only offering some golf and some NASCAR and UFC, the deli probably will not open when the property reopens. And then Baja Miguel's, as well as primarily Prime Rib, the two upstairs restaurants, they will remain closed until we get a better handle on what the business demands are.
You have movie theaters. Are they going to reopen?
That's a leased outlet, and that'll be a national decision from Cinemark. The rumor is June 24th will be their reopening date, but I think they're in a wait and see pattern as well. But that'll be up. All of our leased outlets, we're basically telling them, you guys can do whatever is best for you guys to do, and anything that we have with regard to contracts, we're waiving. Including minimum rents and things of that nature. So movie theaters, we look forward to bringing them back whenever they want to reopen. We'll let them. And, there is that assigned seating capability now in the movie theater. So, you will be able to only seat half the theater and things of that nature. So I think they'll come back. There's been no final call on that.
What about the spa?
Spa will not open when the property reopens. The salon and barbershop will open. A lot of our customers are looking forward to getting their hair cut and their nails done. So that will open, and we will follow the Cosmopology Board, their rules and that they have in place and have been operating in hair salons across the city. But the spa will not reopen. We do not have a good timeline on when it will reopen. But it will not be open when we reopen our doors.
Any special rules at the swimming pools?
No, we'll just spread the chairs. I mean, that's probably the safest place to be, right, with what they say about the sun. So we won't be opening the bar or the deli at the pool. We'll be spreading the chairs apart so that you can properly separate yourself. And given the fact that the hotel is only half occupied, It won't be an issue from a capacity standpoint, and the pool is not open to the public, so it's only for hotel guests. So I think we can manage that quite well, and that will be that.
You have a showroom with both weekend name acts and various events during the week. Do you have a prediction as about when it's going to be reopened?
All we know is nothing in June. We're not planning on opening the Grandview Lounge. We're going to close the curtain on the Grandview Lounge, so it will not. It will not be open in the month of June, and we currently have no entertainment whatsoever in the showroom scheduled for the month of June. We'll get reopened. You know, we'll look at it after the maybe 2 or 3 weeks to see how things are going. We have a lot of headliners that have called and said, I will come in. I'll work for half price. I'll do for free. I just want to get back on stage. And if we do, we reconfigured the seating in there to go only for 200 people. And we could get it open in that regard. But as of now, all we're saying is through June, there'll be no entertainment. And then, we'll reevaluate it midway through the month of June.
Have you already started retraining your employees, or how long do you think that's going to take?
couple of days. So we turned one of our ballrooms into a training room facility. Obviously, we don't have any groups coming in. So we set up 100 chairs and spread out throughout our ballroom, which gives everybody plenty of space. Two projectors, two screens, and when they come in, each department, there'll be departmental training. So everyone will receive the general training, social distancing, hand washing, and face mask proper etiquette. And that will be for everybody. And then the other departments will receive specialized training. So ServSafe for our food department, and then beverage department, how the bartenders are going to have to handle, their new roles and things of that nature. So I think we can get most of it done in 3 days. I mean, we're probably going to bring back 1,000 people. That room seats 100. So over the course of 3 days, we could probably get, you could easily get 2,000 people trained. So that shouldn't be too much of an issue. So we'll bring the back of house people back on Monday. Again, this is all predicated on opening June 4th, obviously, but bring back of house people back on, and we'll bring some people back, engineering and some other groups back even a little bit earlier. The minute you hit property, the first thing you're going to do is going to get training, and then you can go back about doing your jobs. And then the dealers will come back just the day before, so they can get their general training. We'll just sign up for scheduling. At, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, come in this room and pick up your training, pick up your packet and sign for it so that you know what our plan is, and our reopening guidelines are. And then they'll be responsible for reading it, understanding it and following it.
Mr. Gahn has several employees that have been with him 20, 30 or even 40 years. You're not going to be able to open up with as many employees as you closed with. How is that being balanced?
It's hard. That's going to be the hardest part of this whole situation. I mean, when we finally made the decision to furlough our employees, the only saving grace was with the federal stimulus package. All of our employees that were able to get on unemployment, we're going to make quite a bit more money on unemployment. So we were almost doing them a disservice. From a financial standpoint, not to furlough them, because if we don't furlough them, they weren't eligible for unemployment benefits. So those people we will bring back based on business needs. Obviously, from a housekeeping standpoint, we only have half the rooms and we're not doing daily service. So a fraction of the housekeeping staff will be brought back. They will continue to remain furloughed. And we've talked about through at least July 31st, we've committed to supplying benefits to everyone. But we're going to bring them back as business dictates and by seniority. So the 40 and 30 year employees, they're going to have the seniority needed to come back. Some of our shorter term employees, I don't know how long it'll take to get back to full capacity when we'll need that full number of employees that we had. And unfortunately, there might be some people that end up never coming back. But we're going to get open and we're going to analyze what the business demands are and adjust accordingly.
Richard, I want to thank you very much, Mr. Grownie, for your answers. I'm sure your casino is going to be doing a little bit different than others, but they're all close to being the same. And we wondered how it's going to happen. And your answers have been very useful to a lot of us. Thank you.
More than my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys. Look forward to seeing you on the floor here quick.
It wouldn't surprise me. Well, I don't know. Are you planning to be there at 3 a.m?
Well, we haven't decided on what's going to be the opening schedule. And we're waiting to see if there's any guidance tomorrow. I don't know if, I'll be here when I'm going to take the first lock off that door. I promise. So I'll be here when we open. And as soon as we get a schedule in place, we'll make sure to get it out there.
All right. If you're there at 3 a.m, you just might see me.
All right.
So, otherwise I know I'll see you around. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We've been talking to Ryan Grownie from the South Point. Right now, we're going to do some commercials. We normally start off with the South Point commercials, although since the whole thing today has been more or less the South Point commercials, we're going to skip that, other than to say it is official that there will be no free video poker classes this fall. The first of the year, we're going to reevaluate the situation and see if it is healthy enough to do it. If so, we'll go ahead with it. If not, we'll wait another semester. At predicted.org, There's a market where you can place small bets on the occurrence of various political events, mostly but not entirely in the United States. The most active markets now are who's going to be the nominee for vice president and who will win the various states. Gambler with an Edge listeners can receive a one-time offer of a deposit match up to $20 at predictit.org/promo/edge. You must play the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. BlackjackApprenticeship.com is an excellent site for those of you who wish to be successful at counting cards at blackjack. As of a few days ago, they still had openings in their June boot camp. See BlackjackApprenticeship.com for details. At VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the game. The game of the week is Super Triple Play Jackpots, and it's a game for those of you who wish to gamble. It requires 7 coins per line. The first coin bumps up all the values for the 4 of a kind. The second coin provides you with a wheel spin whenever you end up with a 4 of a kind. Since those quads only come around every 420 hands or so, it's a heaven or hell experience. If you don't get many quads today, you will not like this game. If you do, you will. All right. Richard, we usually end our show with some recommends. Do you have one today?
Yeah. So currently I just finished a book called The Biggest Bluff by Maria Konnikova.
Yes. I read that one too.
Yeah, excellent book. She'll be coming on the show in the near future. She is a writer for The New Yorker who decided to spend a year having Eric Seidel train her to play tournament poker and write a book about it. And she was doing so well that she became a professional poker player. And, you know, if she writes for The New Yorker, that she's a really good writer. So I really enjoyed the book.
As did I. Her book is going to be coming out June 20th. So if you go look for it today, Amazon will probably take your order, but it's not going to be shipped for a while. I actually got quite a bit out of it, and I'll be doing one of my weekly blogs on that book. I think it's scheduled for June 18th.
And actually, it made me want to play poker again. So I ended up signing up for WSOP, but, you know, I just have to say it's horrible software and there is no customer service. I mean, you send them an email. It's been a couple of days. I never heard back from them. You know, their software thinks that I'm running a desk sharing software or something, which I'm not. Anyway, that's been a very negative experience, so I wouldn't recommend them. But I would also mention I started binging a show called Peaky Blinders on Netflix, and I'm really enjoying that. So you can throw that on the list of my recommendations as well.
Very good. So I am actually spending a lot of time writing. I have decided to write like 3 short stories a week. So I have 12 or 15 of them out there and a novel. So I'm writing, and these are not have anything to do with gambling. So I'm trying to talk Anthony Curtis into publishing or putting another square on the Gambling with an Edge page, called Bob Dancer Writes for Fun, and just let me post this stuff for free for a while. If he agrees, you will be able to see it. If you enjoy it, great. Hope you do. If you don't enjoy it, don't read it. So I actually enjoyed having Ryan Growney on the show today. There were a lot of things he said which surprised me, some of which I expected. So A lot of people can't wait for it to open up again.
Yeah, so this, I mean, I know a lot of people are curious about how it's all going to work, so I think people will be interested in this show today. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, in other states, we're seeing people lined up at the doors and people cheering when these casinos open. So it'll be interesting to see if we get the same kind of reactions here in Las Vegas.
So thanks again, Ryan Growney. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.